If you could say your name and your position as a candidate.
Betty Jean Alexander, State Senate, District 5.
Talk about, for people who don't know you, don't know who you are, and so forth, what do you want people to think about when they see your name on the ballot on November 6th?
I would like them to know that I'm a single parent, and I struggle every day like a lot of people do, and let them know that I know exactly what it is, how they feel, and that I understand, and I want to take that voice to Lansing and explain and let them know how things are just not right with a lot of things they have.
Talk about this run-up to the November election. In the primary, a lot of people noted the fact that you weren't out at these kinds of meets and greets and candidate forums. Now you are doing a number of these. Talk about what it is like right now as a candidate on the campaign trail.
Right now, like I said, I am getting out there. I don't have, my resources are limited, so there's not a lot of signs that I have out. You know, I'm just an average person trying to run and make it the best way I can with what the resources that I have.
Talk about what your priorities would be up in Lansing. What are the maybe two or three top issues that you hope to tackle as a state senator?
First, I would like to tackle public education, fully funded, because right now there's not enough teachers. So we need to have smaller class sizes, more teachers, and right now, according to the adequacy study, the schools are underfunded. So right now, we need to be able to get more money into the schools so we can have better opportunities for our children.
And how would you do that? Where would that money come from?
That's what I'm going to work on, try to see where I can get that money from. It should be able to get it from, there's like the lottery, there's money from the lottery, which should be going to schools, but I really can't say that it is because I don't know personally. But I would, like I said, I would work with people in Lansing to get this straightened out so we can get fully funded public education. So that's one of my priorities. Another one of my priorities is the water. You know, we need to have clean, safe, and affordable water. And right now, the way that Nestle is charged $200, and that's just a waiver, a fee, to extract over 576,000 gallons of water. What they can do with that money, the water that they're giving, back, basically giving away, that could be used for our people, and not being able to have them water shut off, because water is a human right. That water should go to people that are in our cities.
What about the issue of water contamination? What do you think should be done differently when it comes to PFAS chemicals, when it comes to lead in the drinking water? How should the state change its approach to address those issues?
Well, right now they should be able to change it by, let's see, I'm not sure how they need to do it, but I just know it needs to be done. Like, they need to either fix all the pipes, get people, especially like the ones in Flint as well, fix the pipes, get them fixed, and just change, put a whole new system in, put a whole new, all the pipes that are corroded, just change them out.
And where do you think that money should come from?
That money should come from the state.
And where in the state budget? Do you think it should be new revenue? Do you think it should be taken from other areas of the state budget?
I think it should, I'm not sure where we should get it from. Just, I know the state should be able to fund that so we can get clean water to all our people.
What about auto insurance? This is something that you've talked about in the past. It's something that a lot of people are concerned about. Rightly, it's one of the biggest issues, especially here in Detroit, but across Michigan in general. What are your ideas for addressing the extremely high rates that we see here in Michigan of auto insurance?
Because right now the insurance is just, it's incredibly ridiculous. I have a 12-year-old car, and I have to pay over almost $400 a month for a car. For someone who's working like me, who's struggling, you can't make ends meet on having to pay insurance. That's why so many people don't have it. You know, we need to sit down and take out all the redlining. You need to take out credit scores. That shouldn't have anything to do with it. It should be only on your driving record. All these non-driving factors, rather your age, your race, not, I'm sorry, not your race, your gender, all that is factored And it shouldn't be. It should be only based on your driving record. So we need to sit down in Lansing and get this taken care of, get all those non-driving factors out so we can have affordable insurance.
Would you get rid of the auto no-fault system here in Michigan?
No. You should still have no-fault, but it shouldn't be that high that you have to pay, because that's all I'm paying for is no-fault. So you should be able to have that option to get no-fault.
What about the catastrophic claims? Do you believe that unlimited benefits is the right way to go, considering Michigan is the only state that does that?
Yes.
So we should keep the catastrophic claims the way that it is now with uncapped benefits?
That's correct.
So in other words, I mean, if you do that, how do you address, other than the things that you just mentioned, it seems like a lot of the focus right now is on really overhauling the entire system to drive down rates. You know, in terms of Michigan's general picture of how high the rates are here, if you're not capping benefits, is there another way that you can make really large cost reductions in auto insurance rates?
That's what I'd have to discuss with colleagues in Lansing to see what we can do to get that.
I want to talk a little bit about where you've been since the primary to this moment. The day after the primary was crazy, right? I assume it was crazy for you as well. For one thing, what emotions were going through your mind when you found out that you had won this primary against someone who was well-known, well-financed, and well-connected in Lansing, someone who was by and large the favorite to win that race?
Right. He was highly favored to win, and I was shocked at first, and then I guess a lot of people felt like me that he wasn't doing enough for certain areas, and they decided to go with me because, like I said, I didn't know him either, and I'm in the district as well. So it's been a high, you know, and then it's exciting because it'll be trying to bring a new perspective into Lansing.
Have you had conversations with Senator Kinesic since then?
No, I haven't, but actually on Monday he is hosting a meet and greet for me in Dearborn Heights and Garden City.
Yeah, and that is very interesting. At least publicly, it seemed like he very gracefully bowed out. He didn't run a write-in campaign. He wasn't trying to undercut you. He didn't say anything negative, really, about you at all. What were your feelings about, the way that was handled?
That was handled gracefully. You know, I appreciate him not, saying anything negative. He fully supports me. So I appreciate that, and like I said, I'm glad too that he's going to be with this meet and greet, and so people can know that he is supporting me.
One of the things that was said during right after the primary, there were a lot of aspersions cast and so forth, and also just now, including to this day, I mean, your opponent basically paints a picture of you as a puppet candidate. What is your response when you get that criticism in a lot of ways, that this was not something that you even wanted to do, this is something that just happened to you? What do you say to people who bring that up?
I say to those people that I'm only puppet I will be for is for the people. The people, I will speak for the people. If they want to consider me a puppet that way, that's fine. But other than that, my campaign manager is just that. He's my campaign manager. He didn't force me into anything. I could have said no. I could have said, he did ask me. I could have said no. But no, I decided there needs to be a different change and in Lansing, and I hope to be that person.
Did you want this? Is this something that you really wanted?
Yes.
And talk about now when you're thinking about your position, if you do win this seat, what do you think will motivate you when you're there? What will be your passion for the job?
My passion, like I said, will be trying to get these things changed, like the water, the insurance, public education, raising the minimum wage. So all those things are important to me. And like I said, when he asked me if I wanted to run, I was like, yeah, I will do it, because right now there was no one in Lansing that understands the struggles that we everyday people go through. So there needs to be that voice. Even my opponent does not have that.
Talk a little bit about your opponent. What do you think makes you more qualified than him for this job?
Like I said, I would say because I am with the everyday person. Like I said, I doubt if he ever caught the bus recently. Has he ever rode the bus for public transportation to get to work? Has he struggled with bills like, you know, a lot of people do, making ends meet? He's a pastor. So, you know, he depends on probably gets a lot of his money from people like me working every day, giving money to him. And I feel I'm a better opponent because, like I said, I'm living the life that people are, and it needs to be better than what we're having right now.
Another thing, there were a lot of questions when people were trying to figure out who you were and were asking questions about where you came from, all that kind of thing, about your residency. I just wanted to give you a chance to clear the air there. You know, where do you live, and is it in the district?
Yes, I've lived in the district for over 4 years, in my current house for 2 years. And before that, I was in the district another maybe 2 to 3 years. And people keep saying, oh, you live with Lamar and my sister. Yes, when I first came to town, I did. And I said, that's over 13 years ago when I first came to town, a little bit longer. But after that, I said I moved out and been in the district over 4 years now.
And just really quickly about your governing style. So if it's very likely that when you go to Lansing, if you win this election, you'll be in the minority, that the Republicans will still have control. Although there have been some people that said, oh, maybe there's a path there. We'll see. But, you know, the minority is a position where a lot of compromise is made if you want to get your agenda through. Do you think, especially on things like auto no fault, would you accept compromises with Republicans to make progress, or would you not settle for anything that was less than what you ideally would like to see?
I probably won't get what I want ideally, but I am willing to work with the Republicans, and hopefully, you know, we can come to some understanding and get and let them know that this is just too high and we need to get it lower.
So you're not of the mind that it's all or nothing when it comes to legislation in Lansing?
No.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to add? Anything else that you really hope that people know about you as they go to the ballot box?
Just let them know that you can come to me with any concerns if I get into Lansing. I'll be there. I will be able to distribute information, let them keep them in the loop as to what's going on in Lansing, and not just not be in touch. I want to be there so they can know what's going on and I can be their voice.